Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1099. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
There's a little four square action going on in the background here. I had completely missed the boat on the fact that of all counter programming to have occurred in the year of our Lord 2025 here, for some reason the random AEW Dynamite on a Tuesday, the WWE felt the need to quote unquote lead, load up NXT with a bunch of TNA stars. So
Yeah, and you guys completely, you and Jeremy completely
swing miss.
missed that last week, which I don't even know if I completely blame you for it. But yes, the Tuesday Night War is on as we speak. NXT TNA Showdown up against AEW Dynamite Title Tuesday. And I pretty much plan to have both watched by the time I go to bed tonight. Frees me of wrestling for a couple of days then, a couple of nights then, if I do that.
I am gonna fall prey to my own devices, or my usual devices, I would say, here with a Wednesday watch of NXT and then a Thursday afternoon of AEW.
You could do that. You can do that. That's fine, and that's fine and dandy. But man, ooh, this NXT show, you will marvel at some of the things that end up. I've never seen so many blown spots at on a major wrestling promotions TV show. There are some real bad moments here. I couldn't believe how bad some of them were.
Okay. Well, I will not
You have
look
that to look
forward
forward
to
to.
that. Yeah, have not watched one iota. Yeah, that's the way things roll. So we'll talk about the stuff that you and I both did watch together in some capacity here. We're definitely leading our way on up here to WWE Crown Jewel, which is this coming Saturday,
Yes, it is Saturday at
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yeah, that's a heck of a time.
It is.
I'm not sure that I'm going to be watching it at 8 a.m.
Yeah, no, I probably won't. But ESPN actually, the ESPN app is actually really good about letting you start, from the beginning. It's good about being able to. It has very, very, very good fast forward, rewind functionality, things of that nature. So, yeah, that's a benefit because Netflix and Peacock do not. I think I once tried to fast forward a show on Peacock, and it just told me to go fuck myself. I mean, that just not great functionality there.
Well, the problem that I always had on the handful of Peacock shows that I wanted to fast forward commercials, they just always stuck it in there. You could blow past the commercials, they're like, "No, pal, you're stuck with them. You're gonna pay the piper at some point." It's like, okay, yep. Goodbye, Peacock, here in the very near future.
What, you're not going to watch Saturday Night's main event? It?
Is that, yeah, I believe that's the last one.
But no, it's not. There's the one in December. That's John Cena's last match. You can't miss that.
Okay, it is through the end of the year still. I
Then who
forgot
knows when
about
that,
that.
then who knows when they'll do another one in 2026. But
Yeah, I will
cross
deal
that
with
bridge
it
when you
at
get
that
there.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. For New Year seems like a good breaking point. Like, you're not really going to get bigger than Cena's retirement match.
No, you're not. You are not.
Yeah. So but anywho, the more recent future here, Crown Jewel definitely heavily featured on both SmackDown and Raw this week. I would say, SmackDown is a real breeze to watch.
Yeah, it's a breeze. I mean, sometimes there's matches you don't really care about very much that go a little long on the long side. But overall, it's a it's a pretty it's it can be it's a pretty easy it's a pretty easy watch, yeah.
Yeah, 'cause and I had actually pulled that one up, so my bad. Oh yeah, I forgot. We had Cody Rhodes making his entrance, and then and not too soon thereafter, the Vision is on the ringside apron, and all of a sudden Randy Orton pops up beside Cody Rhodes to stop a early beat down for this continued champion on champion storyline that they have going on here.
Yes, and Paul Heyman doing his part to drive the wedge between Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. Really putting the focus on either way, Randy Orton, if they lost that match, no matter who got pinned, Randy Orton was going to be angry about it, at Cody Rhodes about it.
Yeah, and I've got to admit, I don't know. He doesn't really have Cody Rhodes to be mad about or mad at.
Well, he did. Well, I guess we're going to fast forward now. He did take the pin after Seth Rollins interfered with the stomp while Cody was on the outside.
Oh, right.
So Cody wasn't there to say it to make the save. He was, even though him and Braun Breaker went through the barrier, as wrestlers do. Or was it the table? Was it the table? I don't know. I forget now.
Whatever it was, they were both down and out. It was not a situation where Cody didn't help out. He just was out of the picture. And Seth Rollins really did the damage in that situation. So I feel like co the Code Man is going to slide on this occasion.
When has Randy Orton been that reasonable?
Yeah, well, we'll find out here, I guess.
Yes.
Because I there wasn't really any outcome from that though. We didn't really see any fallout from that aspect.
That's not for this week or next week for sure. I would assume that they, we're going somewhere with Cody and Randy for sure, but it may not be as that imminent. Although what we did get was, at least on this run of them against each other, the first physical altercation between Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, with Cody Rhodes delivering a crossroads to Seth Rollins.
Yeah, there's a continued Seth Rollins cannot it do, does not have Cody Rhodes or well Cody Rhodes has Seth Rollins' number is the best way to say it.
Yes, that has been a continuing thread, and I would imagine Seth Rollins by hook, or more likely by crook, gets the win on Saturday.
I would be quite shocked if Seth Rollins does not win.
Especially after what Paul Heyman laid out on Monday's Raw, on Monday night on Raw, in terms of what Seth has to lose.
Yeah, there are definitely more stakes for Seth in this match than
Yes. Cody's already
it
won one of these things. One of these belts you
yeah.
don't get to keep.
You get to show it off for the 1 week afterwards, and then it's back in hiding.
Well, no, you don't get it at all. Actually, I don't know
Oh.
what the deal is with the belt this year because they're not in Saudi Arabia, but it's I believe the belt is still supposed to be Saudi Arabia property. Like this,
Oh, okay.
they have these belts that are literally the property of a foreign government.
Oh, that is some pretty wild stuff right there. That is some pretty wild stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's a nominal title. It's I because I did feel like Cody Rhodes appeared with it once afterwards, but maybe that was the Raw directly after, and they were still in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I think they were.
So
Yeah, I think that
I
was the
could
case,
be
yes.
just not fully remembering the situation.
Right.
So, yeah, but Cody Rhodes doesn't need this win. It's not against his next opponent. There's no real harm
Whoever that
done
is.
to. Yeah, well, luckily with this PLE, we do not need to worry about that at the present time here. We do get a little more dissension between The Miz and Carmelo Hayes here.
Yes, we do. Yes, the Miz and Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is washing his hands of the Miz. But I imagine the Miz n never goes away quietly.
No, he does not. And he gives the what's the why am I blanking on what his finisher is?
The skull crushing
Good
finale.
finale, yeah. To Carmelo Hayes, Aleister Black ends up taking advantage of the situation and
Oh
taking his
yeah.
spot in the
I
US
was trying to remember what
championship
exactly
match.
happened between them afterward and back. Oddly, I remember the backstage segment more than I remember the attack.
Yeah, the attack was kind of quick and Aleister Black took advantage.
Yes, he did.
I'm gonna hit pause here for a second. I need to go hit the. So yeah, I mean they moved on so quick with Aleister Black, and I don't really remember any repercussions later in the show. That
No, they
it
didn't
was
do anything
kind of
there.
easy to forget about.
Yeah, and then Sami Zayn and Aleister Black had. I want to call it a good match, but I'll be damned if I can remember
Well,
anything about it.
it was one of those. Sami Zayn has been putting on a clinic
But it
in the
just doesn't
ring.
feel clinic in the ring, but it's not resonating with me. Like I know Sami Zayn's a good worker, like, and
Oh.
I've seen him in better and plenty of better matches. Hell, I've even seen. I even seen him in a better match against the guy from Jackass, for God's sakes. So it's just like it's just proving the point that Sami's unbelievably that Sami Zayn is not John Cena. Just being in the
Oh.
ring with Sami Zayn isn't gonna help, make your career, even if you lose.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, Aleister Black still, to me, needs more wins than he needs. I almost won against the champion
Yeah,
kind of spot.
I,
If he wants
right,
to go anywhere, like I have pretty much
I
given
feel
up
like
hope on that happening, but.
yeah, I feel like he needs a number of things right now. I wouldn't say maybe necessarily a full gimmick change, but he's got to evolve this thing somehow.
Oh, yeah, that's he is definitely falling into that category of he's been around a long time and it's been the same gimmick.
Yes. And it's a gimmick that's really, I think, caught falling out of f favor. Because I think people, hell, even in the days of Bray Wyatt, even before all the really kooky stuff, I think people were seeing through all the spooky stuff, all the over traumatic language, all the pseudo intellectual stuff. I think people who are really, I think people now especially really see through that kind of thing.
Oh.
Then again, Karrion Kross got really over with it with a segment of a big segment of the audience. So maybe I'm wrong.
I do think that he had a fresh take on the angle. And it was more engaging than what Aleister Black is continuing to
Yeah, no,
do.
I do agree. I do agree with that. But yeah, there's a number of issues with Aleister Black's presentation here, and this feud with Priest is just not lighting the world on fire here. Priest is so far down from where he was a year ago. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that continues to be same note, same story. It's just becoming longer and longer of a time that he is in the background. Because I guess I would have rather seen him move on from Aleister Black. Like, I feel like there are ways to still keep him in the upper card if you want to, even after a loss to Aleister Black.
Yeah.
So, but that is not what they're doing. yeah, he takes the L here. I don't think that's really doing him any favors at the current moment. And then NXT has been abounding here on main WWE TV. As Zoruka, otherwise known as Sol Ruka and Zarya, end up taking on Chelsea Green and Alba Fire after earlier in the day segment that ended up happening sometime on this show.
Yeah, they're doing that thing I don't like where they just put people from NXT on one of the main shows and just expect most people to know who these people are. Yeah, it just I don't like it. I'll never like it. It's not how you bring people up. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
match was fine.
the promos themselves, I guess, gave at least to me enough of a look into the character, but they do need a little more help than they're getting most times.
Yeah, I mean, just think about this as a regular SmackDown viewer who doesn't watch NXT. These two are presented as a tag team. One of them is walking around with two singles titles, and they're bickering. What are you supposed to think about this?
I would imagine not good things. That the
Yeah.
description is not is accurate and not great. If you do not get the 'cause yeah, they do have kind of an interesting dynamic. Sometimes they're just joke. Ribbing each other, and sometimes they're just not happy with each other,
Yeah.
and they kind of get over it. So,
But
yeah, but that little snapshot's not great.
I mean, as someone who watches NXT every week, them against Flair and Bliss is sh should be fun.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely from a wrestling standpoint, I do think that Zarya holds her own. I have been a big Sol Ruka fan for a long time.
Yeah. Sol Ruka's really, really, really been pulling it together.
Kind of funny what additional in-ring time will do for you. Hey, staying healthy, always kind of nice. That part of the move it along SmackDown. We had a little showdown between Stephanie Vaquer and Tiffany Stratton.
Boy, was this a lot of nothing. There's just no way to make this match feel that interesting. There's no history. They're both baby faces.
Yeah,
And
Stephanie just became the champion.
yeah,
It's not like it's long. It helps when both of them have at least a longer title reign, and you can kind of have a little bit of a pissing contest in that kind
yeah.
of regard, but not the situation here.
Yeah. And then we get the attack from Julia and
Oh,
oh shit, I'm blanking on her name
Kiana,
now.
Kiana
Kiana
James.
James.
I forgot that also. Like I.
Yeah. That's not good. And boy, when they showed up, did that the crowd had no reaction at all to any of this.
Yeah, I had made the joke online about Julia being steaming mad about Stephanie Vaquer. Just continuing to be the top dog in that class that came in there.
It's been a real problem for Julia that even though she was probably expected to have the better career in WWE,
Oh.
Stephanie Vaquer has outclassed her at every turn. And they will be compared to each other because of the way because of the you know because of the way their careers have gone since coming in on the same day. Winning the NXT titles very quickly from each other, and then coming up at the same time. It's like they will always be compared to each other. Their trajectories will always be, and Stephanie has outclassed her in every way, and nothing seems to be helping Julia right now. And this was not, Kiana James was supposed to help, but no one knows who Kiana James is either. So it's like it's not really.
Yeah, she
And
doesn't
she's not
have
exactly the
any like Paul Heyman gravitas kind of
No,
situation.
she has no gravitas in whatever this character is supposed to be.
Yeah, so that's really the toughest part to me. It's just like okay, you have a law degree or a business degree or whatever. Great. Like no one else has a business manager. Seems superfluous here. Not great. I kind of I had liked her as a wrestler. I hope that I don't know, she seems to have done okay in the couple of matches she's had back from the knee injury there.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
gimmick not great, and credibility tough. And oh, going back to that was the whole I made the joke about Julia, and then those two ended up showing up because I was just like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like that,
And then
Julia's
we're and then we're
got
getting
to
a
be
tag
salty
match
for
next
life.
week. Yeah, and then we're getting a tag match next week. The night before Crown Jewel, and it's just like that's a risk. And I thought after Rey Mysterio blew out his knee the night before WrestleMania, they were going to stop doing that, but apparently not.
No, they are not at all. We did have a backstage segment setting up the Javon Evans and Ray Phoenix versus Angel and Berto of Los Garza.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about. A match I don't care about going too long here. This is just like, this is not how I would introduce Javon Evans. I mean, the US Open Challenge thing was fine, but I don't know if this has legs.
He's been great standing as his own person in NXT. I feel like you need to continue to go that route. Let the young OG do his thing.
Yeah.
We ended up hearing from one Jacob Fatu this week. Obviously, his anger is still directed straight at one Drew McIntyre.
Right, yeah. I mean, this is good stuff between them. It's a good feud. Yeah. Two guys are pretty well matched up for each other. It can, if you wanted to, stretch into the maybe some other things going on, as of course Drew McIntyre has his years-long obsession with Jacob Fatu's family.
Yeah, I mean it is wild how long a time period Drew McIntyre has been mixed up with him. 'Cause when was I need to which what which when was that clash at the castle?
Cash of the Class Castle was in like, what was it, September 2002?
You mean 22?
2022, my God, I've been doing that lately for some reason. Yeah, 2022, yeah. 2022 or whatever. 2022, yeah.
Okay, yeah, 2022. Yes, it was 22. So he has been in the orbit of the Samoans for over 3 years now. That is wild.
is, and again, I could see them going back to all of it with.
I mean, it's definitely a different situation right
Yeah,
now.
I mean,
And they have not done Roman Reigns babyface versus Drew McIntyre this version, I don't
no,
believe.
and we have a War Games to stock with some extra people that. That might make
Hey.
sense.
That have a good angle to it, should they want to go that route. One of the better segments. I am really tired of the Street Profits tease, and I really, really hope that whatever happens comes to a head at. Because are they wrestling the SmackDown before
Yeah, that's the SmackDown before,
Crown Jewel also?
which is just a weird. If they're gonna do the full turn, which I assume is Montez going heel, that's a weird SmackDown to do it on, the one that's gonna be airing on Netflix everywhere else in the world at 8 o'clock in the morning, but not on the USA Network until 8 p.m. So a tape show for the main audience.
Yeah, so weird.
But yeah, they gotta do this. It's
Oh yeah, like
beyond
they
time.
yeah, it's to me it's the shit or get off the pot time. It's like you guys have been teasing this for too long. You got to give both of these guys a chance. I agree with the general consensus that Dawkins has a lower ceiling. I still think that he could be useful in the mid card
Yeah.
should he make it into that US title kind of territory. So yeah. But let those two guys maybe do their thing. It's sink or swim time. It's definitely been long enough. Main event match, Orton Rhodes versus Braun and Reed, and we mostly covered that.
Yes, we did.
So on to the on to Raw. And hey, Roman Reigns is really popular now.
He definitely is. And I ended up missing the first 10 minutes of the show, but when I came in, he had already been confronted by Bronson Reed and okay he and Paul Heyman. But here's the thing. Paul Heyman goes on this whole soliloquy about what happened to Roman Reigns the last time. He uses the word stretcher, I don't even know how many times, to describe how Roman Reigns was taken out of the building. He just says it's stretcher, stretcher, over and over and over again. So my brain starts going to, okay, so it's going to be a stretcher match in Perth on Saturday. That would make sense. But no, we get yet another Phil geographic location here street fight. And I was just like, really?
I loved the enthusiasm of Bronson Reed being completely pumped about these rules. But like you said, though, I'm like, what's really gonna make this different? Nothing. Absolutely,
Actually,
they're gonna put like a crocodile puppet down there, and it's just like, yep, yeah, okay, it's Australian.
I might take a look at Bronson Reed's early career and see if there even is ever such a thing as an Australian street fight.
Yeah, but like I said, like he definitely hammed it up. Like he would have Roman Reigns right where he wants him. Not quite sure why, because he's more than likely gonna eat an L unless he gets some help.
Even in Australia, I don't see Bronson Reed getting a pinfall win over Roman Reigns. I mean, he's not Rhea Ripley here. Come on. Very few people
No.
really registered that he's from Australia. But who
Yeah, and
knows?
I mean
Who knows? Maybe in Perth he's more over than I think. Who
he's still relatively new, at least WWE wise. So, we'll see what Yeah, but he's another one, I guess. Maybe a little bit of a cap on the ceiling, for him in the long run. But it's a nice spot to have, to have one of the matches, one of the five matches at Crown Jewel.
One of the big five. Good. I'm sure that being in Australia, this is huge for Bronson Reed, and
Oh.
I don't think it'll be a bad match. So yeah, go hey, and I mean, they obviously seem to be still trying to delay doing anything with Reigns and Bron Breakker one on one. So again, Bronson Reed still the Still the number three guy in the division.
Yeah, they have done a pretty decent job of hyping him up. But as we always say on this show, when you're the one eating the L's, it gets a little bit tough. I
Yeah.
mean, he did get a win this week. So that kind of helps out a little bit. But yeah, all the high profile ones have not really gone his way. So. And then that leaves us Oh yeah. Yeah, that's one match there. Perth and boy, mind you, I did jump into the show a little bit late and watch the beginning back later. It was kind of wild to know that Maxine Dupri had won this match, and then to watch the style in which she won. Also was pretty interesting. I feel like the WWE has used the count out W a little more frequently here recently, and I applaud them for that.
I do. I completely applaud how they laid how they laid out this match. I really did. And I've been hard on Maxine Dupri in the past. But this was easily her best performance. Actually, I'm pretty sure her
Yeah.
second best performance was the last match against Becky Lynch. So Becky Lynch is able to bring out the best in people. So that's, good to see. And you know what? And it's going to get into the rest of Raw, but Maxine Dupri is presented as a babyface, as a good person. So this was someone that you want to root for. She's been working hard, and she's been trying, and she's really trying to get better. And she had, her best outing, and she got her early offense in, and then Becky got, was getting incredibly aggressive, using borderline illegal tactics. And then she got caught on the outside. I mean,
Yeah.
it was karma. It was fitting. It was a good finish to use there.
Yeah, and it did make me laugh later in the night when Becky Lynch is backstage complaining about these events because I did see this part live. It would seem as if her husband was not terribly sympathetic to her situation.
No, and this is the second time. This is the second time they've done that, where she is ranting and raving, and he is not paying attention at all. So that's not sure where you go with that, but I guess it's a wrinkle in Seth's character that he doesn't care about anyone but himself.
Yeah, that is possible. Yeah, that I did find that interesting. Like you said, like it's too early for it to have led anywhere. It may lead absolutely nowhere. Who knows? Hey, we'll get a I guess we're gonna get a trifecta match here with Maxine and Becky at some juncture.
Yeah, looks like that's what we're gonna get.
I don't think they're gonna get flown to Australia, but who knows? Bailey continues her back and forth character as she helps out Lyra Valkyria against Roxanne Perez, although unfortunately the help kind of backfires.
Yeah, it does kind of backfire, and Roxanne Perez gets a win over Lyra Valkyria. But then Bayley, as she does, kind of snaps, but doesn't snap on Lyra Valkyria. She's trying to encourage Lyra that we need to go get them. We need to take the fight to them. And then that's what they do later in a backstage segment. And next week, we finally get the tag match between these four. This week really felt very unnecessary to do get another Roxanne Lyra singles match. But yeah, but it was just the filler to finally get to the tag match.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'll take these two ladies wrestling. They are both very good at their job. I do applaud all around for that. Jackie Redman starts to interview AJ Styles about his match against John Cena. He does not get too far into this conversation when the Judgment Day shows up en masse here with Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh presenting what now seems to be a united front.
Yeah, this week they seemed, well, during the course, during this part of the night, they seemed united. Yeah, I mean, it's, this things that what's been going on between the Judgment Day and AJ Styles and company. We're gonna end up with a six man tag. AJ Styles just does not feel like he's being prepped for a big match with John Cena.
It was kind of weird that realistically the last big show before that event and you blew it off for a six-person tag match on that show. Just feels
Yeah.
like you could, you know, it feels like you could have given him a little more time to talk about him and Cena. Although I guess there was at least a little bit, to be fair to them, there was the video package that they did on their the historical matches against each other.
Yeah, they did do that. So, no, that was nice to do. I mean, obviously, it was pretty necessary to do it.
Yeah, it 'cause as usual here, John Cena has been like, "Yeah, I'll see you at the I'll see you at the PLE. Have a good time."
How they're gonna get through his remaining matches is gonna it, it is gonna be interesting, and how they're gonna make them feel important. If they're just gonna kind of just be, hey, this person wants John Cena, or hey, John Cena wants to face this person. There's no real storyline behind it. There's no feud. It's just a match.
Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see if they end up going that route here. 'Cause there was a little bit of peer pressure or fan pressure for this match to happen.
That was all orchestrated. This was always going to be the match at Crown Jewel.
Fair enough. I don't care how it comes to me.
Right,
Just
you
give me what I'm asking
know.
for. It's stupid if it needed to be orchestrated. Six man tag. CM Punk. Ends up starting a chain of promos because he is then joined by LA Knight, and they are both then joined by Jey Uso, and really, really later on, Jimmy Uso.
Oh yes, my favorite thing. All of the baby faces being complete assholes to each other.
No one really, as you have already noted amongst ourselves, none of these baby faces are really likable.
Right, no, it's gotten really bad. Now they're sucking Punk back into it. Roman Reigns is kind of involved on the periphery, and he's being and he's I guess he I get the thing with Roman Reigns is he never really changed, even when he became a face. He's still the
No.
tribal chief. He's still he I guess he's still an asshole
Yeah,
in
he's definitely an
his own
asshole in
right.
his own right. Yeah. It's more low key than it used to be. It's still there, though.
Yeah, so it's just yeah, it's just everyone just in a battle to be the most unlikable. I don't get it, especially when it comes to Jey Uso, because his whole thing is that he's the kid's favorite. So I don't know why you want to do this at all. muddying the waters with him.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. You're selling yeet merch like you wouldn't believe, and for some reason you feel like looking that gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
And it really does not make a whole lot of sense.
No, it really doesn't.
So, the CM Punk, just because he's already been edgy, that part of the angle never really bothers me too much. And
No.
yeah, we've kind of talked about it with LA Knight. Like, he's kind of in a similar situation where
He's the one who should turn heel on all of this.
he should really be the heel. So yeah, we'll continue to beat that dead horse until it actually happens. Because he is a pretty aggrieved party in this whole situation. Another match that did have its own backstage segment earlier in the night, Io Sky versus Kairi Sane, and the backstage segment ahead of it. Really, Asuka bullied Adam Pearce into making this match?
Yes, and then she
And
bullied Kairi into going through with the match, including slapping her. Which again is like, why is Kairi taking this if she doesn't want, if she doesn't want to? It's again, it's just the premise of this whole thing is very faulty to me. Yeah,
the
but I don't want to beat the
structural
dead horse.
problems that we did talk about last week, out in full force this week.
Yeah.
Out in full force. Honestly, the only thing good about it was Io Sky's finally like, yeah, I just need to kick Asuka's ass. Like, I don't
Yeah, I
there's
really
nothing
like the
left to
dive.
do here.
I really like the run past Kairi to dive on Asuka on the floor. That was really good. Yes, Asuka's obviously the problem here. Go get her, and then
Yeah.
Kairi, of course, feels like she has to defend Asuka. So finally, the match takes place. Into the DQ after Asuka runs in, and then they double team Io. But again, Kairi looking conflicted and sad about it, that I also hate, because I just feel like we should be past this by now.
Yeah,
She is
and
she's a grown adult with free will. She could walk away from this if she wants to.
Yeah, even be a non-participant. Like, if you really feel like you don't want to offend either of them, just completely pull yourself away from the situation. And then what was this? It was the six man? No, six man was not the main event. But the six
But it
man
was next.
happened. Yeah, it was next. It was another one of those fun matches. There are a lot of
Yeah.
good wrestlers involved in this thing,
Yes,
so it was.
there's a lot of good wrestlers involved in this match. You know, this is was a good match, and then, you know, the finish sees Rusev come down to the ring to get back at Dom. Dom has absolutely no problem bailing on his team to get away from Rusev. Along the way, Penta accidentally super kicks Rusev, so and inadvertently allowing Dom to get away.
Oh.
And
Yeah.
then AJ Styles, you know, pins JD McDonagh. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
JD takes the
What?
pin. He takes the pin here.
Or JD. JD, it's a lot of pins.
And then AJ
So,
Styles is allowed to cut up to cut a final promo directed at John Cena.
Yeah, and it was short and sweet. I kind of liked
Yeah.
it, honestly.
Yeah, I did.
Like,
Yeah, I did
it's
too.
gonna kick ass. I'm like, okay, man. Like,
And then even though he did not pin Dominic Mysterio or anybody in this match, Penta's getting yet another Intercontinental title match next week.
oh, Yep.
I'm presuming Rusev gets involved, so we get some type, maybe a triple threat down the line or something of that nature.
Oh,
As
yeah.
Penta continues to spin his wheels.
Oh man, yeah. I have never seen. Well, I shouldn't say never seen. Because I mean, I feel like honestly, the LA Knight conversation, like he is kind of starting to get into LA Knight territory already. Where he was super popular, he still remains pretty over. He has nowhere to go.
Yeah, no,
He has
it's a
less where to go than LA Knight does.
yeah, no, he got himself so over so quickly that they basically weren't ready for it, and oddly they're still not ready for it, and it's a very weird. I mean, the guy just oozes charisma. He's and just he's a great talent. I don't get it.
Yeah, neither do I. It's a real baffling situation, quite frankly, that they haven't taken better advantage of it. So, yeah, last but not least, CM Punk and LA Knight take on the Usos.
Oh, did I didn't like this, how it was laid out. I do not like the greatest tag team of all time losing a tag match to two guys who hate each other.
In pretty short order too.
He did, yeah, 'cause
9.5 minutes,
they were running a lot of time there,
not
yeah.
long. Yeah, and considering that this was one of the longer Raws on, because I want to say it's closer to
Yeah.
2:45.
It was definitely a longer Raw this week.
It seemed like an oddly short match if you're gonna go the extra time.
It's just such a, again, this whole thing is just so badly, thought out. It just makes all your baby face look like assholes. It's just very, very, just very strange how they decided to do this.
Yes, it is. Do we want to make quick predictions here at the end of the show?
Sure,
I
we can do
feel like
that.
we kind of made one or kind of made a couple along the way talking about things, but let's go from the bottom up here so that we end with the championship matches. Roman Reigns, Bronson Reed. I feel like we are both on the Roman Reigns train.
Yes,
Am I
Roman. Yes,
correct?
yeah, yeah. Yes, Roman's range train. Yes, Roman.
Okay. Rhea Ripley and Io Sky taking on the Kabuki Warriors.
I'm pretty sure Rhea and Io are taking this one.
Yeah, I feel like the Australian contingent would be pretty salty if Rhea Ripley lost this match. Like there's other ways to extend this story if you really want to that don't involve her losing in Australia. Maybe have a beatdown in Australia the next night or something like that, but don't have her lose. That's just silly talk. John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Well, since John Cena got so destroyed in his last match, I'm but just I obviously, I assume he's gonna win this.
Yeah, this is a neither man needs this win situation. Well, I mean, I guess John Cena needs it more if you want him to take on Brock Lesnar and you want to kind of sell that his mojo is back.
Yeah, I don't even think that's where we're going with anything yet anymore. I think that's just done, and we're not gonna see Brock to the Royal Rumble. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is conceivable. I mean, yeah, it's conceivable. But yeah, I definitely see a John Cena victory here. And then yeah, Stephanie Vaquer versus Tiffany Stratton for the women's Crown Jewel
Yeah,
Championship.
this is the biggest pick'em here. This is the match that I'm the least sure about, but I'll predict Stephanie
I'm with you.
McCair.
Like, she has been that red hot that I feel like she's finally the one that douses the Tiffy time flame. 'Cause Tiffany's held on to that belt I feel like a bit longer than I was expecting her to at this juncture. So she's had a pretty decent run here. But Stephanie Vaquer has become wildly popular wildly quick. And that leaves us with one I do believe we both also kind of I think we agreed on Seth Rollins taking the Crown Jewel Men's Championship home over Rhodes by hook and by crook most likely.
I see no other way for this to go at this point. He really does have to win this, otherwise, yes, he
Yeah,
is
the
the
whole
B
faction
champion.
he just started it completely implodes. That would be wild if that happened. That would be one of those very shocking things if that's what happened there. So, okie dokie. Anything else to talk about before we hit the dusty trail here, sir?
I think we're good.
Bell time beer on my end here. It's a brewery that I kind of forget about because I feel like they have made it into less places in Columbus recently for whatever reason. Brewdog, they have a location not that far from my house, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. But I picked up a couple of I picked a pick a six there, and I got their Oktoberfest beer, and it's pretty solid Marzen beer. It's probably not my favorite, but also very drinkable light beer that I enjoy at the Oktoberfest time of the year. I know that it's typically celebrated in September, actually, to celebrate the coming harvest in October. But yeah, here's the drinking. So yeah, good beer, good time of the year to have it. So BrewDog, they're out of Scotland. Yeah, Scotland is originally where they're from, but their brewing headquarters is just outside of Columbus here. So yeah, you should be able to find their beers just about anywhere because they literally distribute all over the United States. So their Oktoberfest could possibly be on the shelves of your local grocery store. So that is the Belltown beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango. 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us, oh, and Spotify, and download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.